Today's scripture reading comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. It's on page 863 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us.
Reagan Tidd. Reagan is a wife to Chad, a mother to Greer and Luke, and a friend to many and the beloved of God. When she is not bringing order from her chaos in her home, she can be found taking some time to herself at the gym, reading, or having lunch with a friend. She might be middle-aged, but hopes she never grows too old to learn something new. God started chasing her as a young girl in a small town in coastal South Carolina and teaches her new truths every day. When she shares her heart today, please know it is because of His great goodness and the investment of countless people along the way that loved her, taught her tirelessly, and served her with kindness. She will always be grateful to those who have seen more in her than she sees in herself. Please welcome Reagan Tidd.
Miss Mary Jane and I had a moment to chat between the services because it means so much to me to be a part of this service in the context of my upbringing. I grew up in a Baptist church. I was in Mission Friends, GAs, ACT Teens. I really don't know how they convinced us to stay the course until we were 13 or 14. Having an 11-year-old, I know how hard it is to get them to focus, but there are countless women who've invested in my life, even as Sunday school teachers and mentors, and I'm so grateful that in the context of them being moms and wives and having a busy life, that they gave up and sacrificed their time and served me well. It just is a good reminder that God continues to chase us. He started a long time ago with me, and He keeps going. And I want to share a little bit about His work in my life and what He's been doing recently. So as you may have read in the newsletter, that I'm going to talk about love. And I really did not think about we were in the week of Valentine's when I wrote that title, because y'all might think that I'm going to be a Hallmark commercial, or I might give some love advice. I don't have any. Chad and I have been married 18 years, and I think the furthest we got, the context is we were on vacation last week, but we might have said Happy Valentine's Day. We sure didn't exchange a card. And we definitely did not give each other presents. We just kind of moved on, you know, love grows deeper. Not quite as, we don't need the reminder of a card. We've got 18 years and two kids to prove that we love each other, right? And considering our challenge on Baptist Women's Day to chase the God who chases us, I thought that our time would be spent best considering God's pursuit of us as we gather for worship today. I hope that as we conclude our time together, that you will agree that our work, His work on our behalf, establishes the motivation that we need to enter back into service on His behalf. So, where do you go to begin the story of God's love for us? I mean, obviously, the cross demonstrates it well. His creation of us, there's so many moments in His timeline that show us His great love. But I'm going to take us even further back to see what exactly was going on in eternity past before we were ever alive. And I believe that is where we'll find the foundation for His character and His goodness to us. He is a singular essence, but three persons that we know as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were supremely happy in their community. And I want to submit to you that the way that they interrelate and the way that they are other-centered and serve each other is what we have defined as love. And in this same idea, their passionate nature, what they were about, defines for us the word holiness. Love is God's purity of purpose, and holiness is His purity of character. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are interconnected with each other in a self-giving relationship. Everything God does, both in creation, providence, salvation, everything he's done since eternity past, he does for his own glory. Now, if I could transport you to our home, the reality, we love each other a lot, and we say it a lot. Most of our interactions with each other is admittedly not others focused. You can take last night into consideration. I was on the couch finishing my notes. Chad was hungry. Greer and Luke were doing their own thing, and we were not thinking about each other. We weren't thinking about serving each other. We were more thinking about what the other one wasn't doing for us. I don't know if your home feels like that at all. But thankfully, Chad stepped up, and I've also, with us being on vacation, I haven't been to the grocery store. So he gathered some food that was edible for our kids, and then after they went to bed, I scavenged some more for the two of us. So the idea of God, the Trinity, being other-centered runs very far from my reality and my human nature. But, thankfully, God glorifies himself by transforming people. His life flows into us, becoming our deepest passion, and then it flows out of us in worship, in service, transformation of ourself, the way we take care of the things around us. He is glorified when we are righteous because of him, fruitful because of him, and happy because of him. That brings him glory. All of existence, even though we're fallen, is about redeeming everything that God's created and taking it back. This time, instead of being fallen, that he gets to make his own kingdom with beauty. We're going to be transformed from this life of chaos where, unfortunately, we all get sick. And he's going to replace in our hearts the self-centeredness with a God-centeredness where we get to enjoy him and worship him. That transformation is the definition of love. Honestly, for most of my life, I tend to be a task-oriented individual. Like I can, as long as I have a list, chaos and relationships can happen all around me, but I'm not always engaged. So for most of my life, that's how I've related to my spiritual walk. And so I viewed spiritual formation, or you can call it transformation, as something I either had to do or had to learn, something that I could think about or a way that I could act. My right thinking and right behavior was mostly manufactured by me and what I could produce. So last spring, I had the opportunity to go study at the Cove with Dr. Larry Crabb, who's a Christian psychologist. He taught on spiritual direction. And I will never forget the moment of, you have 30 to 40 new people that I had never met. And he shared his goal for the week, and we had to introduce ourselves. Well, I'm not the speaker in the family, typically, someone else fills that role. And so even standing up in a group that size, I was nervous. And in my quiet time, the Lord had been really working on me. I've been studying, at that time, the New Testament and looking at the life of Jesus. So we go around. I'm sure they assigned us a line because otherwise I wouldn't have stood up for myself. And I stood up and I said that I felt that I looked more like a Pharisee than Jesus, and I wanted to look like him. You see, my actions and my knowledge were kind of where I based my relationship with the Lord, and I wanted that to change, but I didn't know how to start that. I honestly didn't even know how to unpack that phrase that had come out of my mouth. until days later where I had more of a context to put it on. I knew that there was a better way to relate to God that had been provided for me through the gospel, but I didn't know how to put flesh on that. And even in that statement, I see the work of the Holy Spirit, that God took me to Asheville to chase me, to show me his truth, and to reveal more of his character and more of the way that I could glorify him, and to embrace the fact that truly, despite how I felt, I was his beloved. So we're going to look today at the book of Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to define what it looks like to have a new passion. So I'll read the passage. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So the first verse starts, if then you have been raised with Christ. So I learned that in the context of life, we tend to live in the smaller story of our hurts, our trials, our success, our disappointments. Now, when we have a relationship with God, we've been opened up. We're part of a larger story of what he's doing throughout creation. We get to enter the relationship of other-centeredness through the Trinity. And God's idea to redeem and rescue us is something that we get to join. We get to join the opportunity to share his glory with the world. So the verse continues, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So we also have the opportunity, as we seek the things that are above, to set our affections on what is possible because of Christ. Our new identity, our new loves, our freedom to now move towards others as we relate in a non-selfish way. We get to lean into the beauty of the new kingdom before the new kingdom has even been established. Verse 2 says, set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. After salvation, I had the ability to love like Christ. It was present within me, but the truth is that most times I am the barrier because I'm unwilling to love like Christ did. Until I experience the joy of enjoying Christ and know that he is enough, I can't move towards others in a self-giving way like the Trinity does. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Putting your small story in the context of his larger story helps him to become our treasure. We value him and his glory more than our own. And that, the idea of appearing with him in glory, reminded me of a passage that I've been studying in James. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. So my job is really to remain steadfast. It kind of makes my scope just a little smaller. Trials are going to come, but we also have the promise that his larger story is true and it will be accomplished. If you slide down to verse 12 in chapter 3 of Colossians, it says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against the other, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. My family can tell you that compassion is not the first thing that exudes out of me in the morning, especially if you wake me up. Instead, because of what God has done, we have been transformed to relate like the Trinity. And if you remember, the Trinity is a supremely happy community of three persons whose manner of relation defines love and whose passionate nature defines holiness. So God's purpose is that I would look like Him, that I would find perfect joy and contentment in who He is, and that what flows out of it would be love and holiness. We move towards others, displaying that other-centeredness of the Trinity in ways that we didn't think was possible. Thomas Chalmers described it as the expulsive power of a greater affection. So expulsive is not really a word that we use very often. And the idea that came to my mind when I read it was a well, taking all the nutrients it needs out of the water, and then what's left is expelled out of its blowhole. When we find a greater love, the lesser loves will be expelled or forced out. So instead of focusing, like I did, on my behavior and the right thoughts, the right deeds, I've found personally that the way that I want to spend my time and invest in my relationship with the Lord is to realize His deep love and what He's provided for me and what He's provided for all of us, and that that will fuel my walk with Him. The reality is that our love and our visions of the good life, what that looks like for you, motivate our actions. If you change your love, your actions are going to follow. Augustine wrote, "My weight is my love. Wherever I'm carried, my love is carrying me." So what you love is what's going to drive your behavior. An example of that is the grocery store. How many of y'all have gone in there with a list and you are getting practical things that your family needs, and who knows, we end up on the chip aisle or the cookie aisle. At the end of the day, when my grocery cart goes, my loves are very evident. The things that I find appealing or I'm drawn to are a reflection in that time. One other way that I think about it too is I like to do an exercise called Pilates. It's about lengthening your spine, strengthening your core. That's what happens after you have two kids that cause you a little bit of trauma. And one of the principles that I have learned in teaching others is that when your gaze is up, your body will follow that. If you are looking down, your back is hunched, you don't have good posture. So I'm going to write my mom after this and tell her that when she corrects my posture from now on, she should just tell me I should look up, not to hold my shoulders back or any of that. Your body, specifically your shoulders, spine, abdominals, follow your gaze. In the same way, when we gaze on Christ and what God has done for us, our whole attitude will change. Our behavior will follow those. As worshipers, we actually grow in godliness or looking like God by making Him the love of the object of our love, and not by modifying our behavior. So I want you to imagine something with me. I don't know when the last time you've held a baby is, but imagine holding a newborn. Think of the joy and the pleasure. I remember never really understanding before how much a miracle life was until I held my kids. They were a gift from God. and they still are, but you feel overwhelmed with love. As you think about yourself in that scenario, what expression is on your face? How do you know? When you think of a child, after a few weeks, they become your mirror. They start smiling back because you have awakened love in their heart. They started loving. We are God's creation. We have been created in His image, and within each of us, He has placed the seed of love in its dormant form in our hearts. His pursuit of us is what awakens it, so that we might join the Trinity in their holy and joyful celebration of God-centered living here on earth now, and when Christ returns to bring the kingdom of God. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because He first loved us." Now, church, you as the beloved, I want to leave the words of God for you to go and to motivate you in your walk with the Lord today. So we're going to read 1 John 4. "Beloved," that's y'all, "let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son to the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us." Church, let's go love the world today. Thank you.